doing anything exceptionally well requires commitment and perseverance. The result of such efforts are those things that enjoy high regard and stand the test of time. We are driven to create exceptional radio by bringing together talent, creativity, determination, preparation, and painstaking craftsmanship. Anything less would not be worth the effort. The Common Man Program starts right now.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest. And the lousiest of the best. Now, if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like, hello?
Well, the way I see it, and I may be wrong, but the way I understand it is that if the season had ended after this last week, we'd be in the playoffs. I think we'd be the sixth seed, if I'm correct. So we're in at the end of the day, which means all the work we did through OTAs, training camp, preseason, regular season, it comes down to four games. And it comes down to the other teams that are in the hunt, the other teams that are fighting for their division title, whoever has the best four-game stretch.
If we go out there and we beat Seattle, who's on a three-game winning streak, if we beat them and we go out and we crap in our hands the next 3 weeks, you know, it doesn't do us any good. So we just got to go out here and play this game. We've got four games in front of us, you know, all games that we can win if we play good. And if we do that, then everything will be happy again.
Focus on this week. It's going to be playoff environment. Obviously, it gets very loud there. And it's almost a must-win for us. And that's kind of how... I'm approaching it. Hopefully that's how we're all approaching it, and we'll go out there and we got to get a win.
It is a little bit of a sense of urgency at the same time. In this league, it should be like that every week because you got to win and you got to bring it every week to play well in this league.
Let's go.
I want to win, and I want to win now.
Super Bowl homeboy.
Is big in my mind, regardless of when we play it. Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday night, Tuesday night. You know, every game is big, and you know, especially where we're at right now. You know, from here on out, it's every game is a big game. So that's the way we approach it. You know, week in and week out is a big game.
That's it. It's all the marbles. Sitting in the house, I'm loading up the pump. I'm loading up the Uzi. I got a couple of M16s. Couple nines. I got a couple joints with some silencers on. I'm just loading up clips, a couple grenades. Got a missile launcher with a couple, you know, missiles. I'm ready for war.
We said it was going to be a tough guy game. And in a tough guy game, playoff football in December, you got to execute, and you can't leave plays on the field.
Hell no, we're going to go to playoffs. I'll tell you that right now.
The thing is are they really our fans? You know, are you our fans now that things are a little tough? Or are you going to be our fans when we run these games off and get in the playoffs? Be consistent. That's all I can ask. Be consistent. And we need to be consistent as well. So it's definitely a hand-in-hand thing.
I'm sick of it, man. I really am. I'm fed up with all the crap that I hear. I think it's bandwagon. I really do, man. These guys lay it on the line. These guys are in the training room, man. Guys lay it on the line, man. They lay it on the line. Sometimes it doesn't happen.
I'm confident that we'll be world champions. That's what I've said right from the start, and I'm still confident of that.
We're coming. We're coming.
Blair Walsh from 27 yards left hash. Snap good, spot down. Walsh's kick is up, and it is no good. He missed it. Are you kidding me? The season can't end like that. He missed it left. And the Seattle Seahawks are off to Charlotte. Blair Walsh missed a 27-yard field goal, and the Minnesota Vikings are going to lose 10-9.
Give me an would you?
Yeah.
Well, we're into familiar territory again, aren't we? It seems like the more things change, the more they stay the same. Here we are, early December. Of course, I guess it wasn't like this last year, was it? What were we playing week? Is this week?
It's week 14.
Week 14.
Four games to go.
I wonder what we were playing for montage music week 14. Were we playing Nothing's Going to Stop Us Now? Keep Pushing?
Or at that time, we might have been playing to clinch the division, so maybe some sort of Heart of a Champion or something like that.
I'm winning or something like that. Yeah, and here we are. Again, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And I think a lot of people, a lot of Viking fans, and maybe the Vikings themselves were They were resting comfortably in the knowledge that offense is the new thing in the National Football League, and the Rams are going to go and they're going to run roughshod over the Bears. You know, because that's what everybody apparently thought, except for me. But they all thought that the Rams would go in and, you know, the offense would just go up and down the field and the Bears would have no answer, because that's, as I've been told by all the experts, offense is the thing now. Defense is the thing of the past. It's gone the way of the Edsel. It's gone the way of the typewriter. It's gone the way of the phone booth. Don't ever expect defense to have a place in the National Football League anymore. And then, of course, we see last night that defense still is, if you have to have a choice of a dominant defense or dominant offense, you take the dominant defense every single time, especially football, December, playoff football. You don't leave plays out in the field. And so I think people were thinking, we'll get to within a half game. And then if we could, even if we lose to Seattle, we're still in a good spot. And quite frankly, they are, right?
Yeah.
To a certain extent. I mean, because as we speak today, even a loss to Seattle, would the Vikings still
be the second wild card spot?
It'd be the second wild card.
They got a lot of help this week.
They did get a lot of help this week. So again, they did get assistance. Of course, we know if you win the division, you get one home playoff game, right? You're guaranteed one if you win the division. Do you get one automatically?
Yes.
So then, you know, and you like that. And we saw how it helped in, you know, Minneapolis Miracle last year. That was nice, but you know, again, if you, let's say the playoffs were to start today, who would we be playing?
We'd be at Chicago.
We'd be at Chicago,
which makes tonight's game important, because the odds of them surpassing Chicago at this point for the division after Chicago won last night are pretty slim.
Right.
So now it's about wild card positioning.
Yes.
I'd much rather go to Dallas than go to Chicago. You lose tonight, you ain't going to Dallas.
Yeah.
The second wild card spot's all you're playing for.
Yeah, and you're probably going to Chicago. And then would, yeah, well, unless somehow Chicago continues to win and something happens to the Rams or the Saints, right? And they drop from the top two spots, which I don't know if I'd want to go to either. I mean, you don't want to go to any of those. I mean, Let's just face it. With the way the team is playing right now, and again, you got Negatron already, I just don't like our chances right now. You know what? I think there's a really good opportunity that we'll build this thing together and stand strong forever. With the way teams are currently playing, I tried to tell people, and again, I know the Rams could turn around the following week and they could put up 45 points again. Yeah, I get that. They're very skilled offensively. But Goff was off and they got to Gurley early. That's exactly what they did. That's what I've been trying to tell you. It's not that difficult to figure out. Your game plan for these guys. The teams that get steamrolled by the Rams are the teams that don't have a good defense. You know, so you can get, just like there's that number in there today. I wish somebody could do the research for me, because I wouldn't even know where to begin. But there's this, the Saints are, what are they, 18 and, no, not Saints, the Seahawks, our opponent tonight. Is it 18-4 in night games in prime time or something?
In December?
In December. I don't know the exact, where is the stat? It's something to that extent. Here it is. One stat that matters. The Seahawks' record in night games at CenturyLink Field since 2006 is 18-4. Only two road teams in that time, the Saints in 07 and the Falcons last year, have won a night game in Seattle after traveling two or more time zones west. And again, it gets back to that time zone and the jet lag and this, which, again, I think that's a little overblown. I mean, guys have played football games with broken legs and shredded knees. They found a way to mind over matter to somehow forego the pain and play at a high level. I think a couple of hours of shut eye shouldn't throw you off to the point you can't win. I'd also like to know the records of those teams that they beat. Now, again, you would say, well, the comeback would be, if they're playing night games against Seattle, they're probably pretty good teams, because night games generally feature two teams that are expected to be good when the schedule comes out,
sure.
Right? That being said, though, too, that Seattle team is pretty darn good over the past. I mean, they won a, since 2006, that's what, 12 years?
Yeah.
And a pretty good football team, right? Especially during the Legion of Boom era. That was a 3-4 year stretch where, man, I don't care who's coming to town. It wouldn't matter if they, you could give them a week and it's still going to be an issue. So, but they do have that. If you're a believer in that, then they've got that going against them tonight. The Vikings do. The thing they have going against them, it's well documented everywhere. When we're playing teams with winning records, we have trouble, especially if we're playing them on the road. And
especially with the time zone difference.
Especially with the time zone. And we're not the only club in the league that has those same issues, right? We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It's my gadfly sense tingling. I just don't have the kind of feel we did last year. And I suppose a lot of it has to do with you're 6-5-1 right now. And last year at this time, we were what? Because when was the last time we lost a game until we got beat by Philadelphia?
We had to be like 9-3 at this point.
Were we like 9-3
or 10-2, something like that?
I mean, all we were doing was winning football games, and so it's much easier to have a better feel for it when, wow, we're winning games, we're moving the ball, we're scoring points, Keenum's playing over his head, we got two great wide receivers. It's the age of Latavius, because Latavius had a nice year last year, and the defense was just dominant. And now this year it's like, well, defense is good, not quite what it was. Offensively, we can't seem to figure out if we should be running or passing, or do we have the right quarterback? Do we not have the right quarterback? So
we were 10-2 going into this game last year.
10-2,
and we lost.
Okay, and then we went 10-3
at Carolina,
and then we went. We finished 13-3. Mm-hmm. So it's certainly different. There's another something else that. You know, the last couple of weeks, we've really, including the head coach, it's been concerned about, well, we're not running the ball enough. We run into too much, you know, balanced attack and such like that. I saw a quote from DeFilippo over the weekend. I don't know if you saw it, that I think DeFilippo subscribes to the New York Times and likes crossword puzzles. I'll explain other side of the break here on The Fan.
It's a Purple Monday on The Fan, presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Minnesota.
Lunchtime hour of the Common Man program is brought to you by Carboni's Pizza.
I know we call it a Purple Friday. Do we also call this a Purple Monday? Do we label Monday, or is it just, hey, you better win tonight Monday?
That's a good question.
I don't know if we have an official label, but we'll call it a Purple Monday today. Vikings on this radio station. Coverage at 5, is that correct?
That
Kick
is correct.
Off about 7:20 or so. I'll make my weekly appearance in the pregame show with Big Ticket. Now that will be, what, about 5:45 tonight?
Oh,
I believe.
Boy.
You know, there was the head coach has been very vocal publicly about, well, I don't think we're running the football enough. I look at Fish Wrap Factory, west side of the river, Sunday, Esiason section, C10, the title of the page is On the NFL, Mark Craig's breakdown of week 14. Feature story about the Vikings' success behind the line. Seattle, unlike the Vikings, has utilized a consistent, healthy front, which allows them to run the ball. They run the ball. Do you think Mike Zimmer would love to be the head coach of Seattle? Because they run the ball more than any other team in pro football. Did I see this correctly? They're the only team in football that has run the ball more than they have thrown the ball. Is that correct?
I know they've definitely run it the most. I know
and
that.
And they have put together a record of 7-5, I believe. and which is, by the way, better than our record. No, is it?
Yes, by half game.
Yes, by half game. And they've been playing well as of late, I think. I think they have like three-game winning streak. So they've found some type of rhythm to winning football games, both offensively and defensively. But here's what I saw in the story. There was a quote from DeFilippo. I'll read the paragraph just before it. Mark Craig writes, in Minnesota, an ongoing storyline features old school head coach Mike Zimmer versus new school offensive coordinator John DeFilippo. Zimmer's open about wanting more commitment to the run. DeFilippo accepts the boss's evaluation as having some merit, but also expresses his opinion that bosses aren't always right, which I do all the time around here, by the way. Did it already this morning. Here's what it says. Here's DeFilippo's quote. Balance to me is going to be different each week. If you just go in with the same game plan to attack an opponent each week, I don't think that's going to give you the best chance of success. He's basically saying each game is a crossword puzzle that you need to solve. Each game you attack differently. I'll give you an example. Brilliant. Isn't that what kind of New England does? Maybe better than anybody, right? Sometimes they'll throw the ball gently down the field all day, every day. Other times they'll decide they want to run the football. It just depends upon who you're playing. And that's why, and maybe the coach, maybe Zimmer's just showing some frustration, right? Because those were a couple of tough losses. You know, we had played New England. We gave up the opening drive, then we scratched and clawed our way and was 10-10. Then all of a sudden they scored four plays. Coach even said he thought maybe the offense panicked a little bit. And I understand. And that's why I say when fans are analyzing their favorite football teams, they're always looking for this perfect game, right? Where offense, defense, special teams are just absolutely perfect. We ran the ball. We passed the ball. Our third down efficiency was great. We forced a couple of turnovers. Special teams was wonderful. And everything was great. Quarterback rating was really high, and our running back ran for 100 yards. That'd be great. And you can do that when you play Detroit or Arizona. Do you know that was the worst football game in the history of Detroit Lions football?
Did you watch it?
I didn't. I have a tape. Deuce said, don't bother. And I read the headline of the Detroit Free Press. It says, in the pantheon of awful Lions football games, that was probably the worst.
That's saying something.
And you look at the statistical numbers. I mean, it wasn't because of good defense, by the way, is what I'm told by Deuce. It was inept offense, and that's what they said in the Detroit Free Press as well. But see, what DeFilippo was saying, all right, here's what I'm faced with this week. Just like Zimmer would think, wouldn't you think he approaches his defensive game plan a little bit different this week than he would have, let's say, the week before?
Sure.
This week you've got a team that runs the ball.
You're going to defend New England different than you defend Seattle.
Yeah, I would think so. It's almost impossible, unless you're playing Arizona or Detroit, to put together a perfect game where everything is balanced. And I'm not saying the exact 50-50 balance. You know, we threw the ball 25 times or we ran it 25 times, but that we ran it well, we passed it well. Those games don't happen very often. The other team's got talented players, too. They've got talented offensive and defensive coordinators. They also have good head coaches. They also have players and coaches that aren't as good. Every team has weaknesses and strengths. It's trying to find those weaknesses of the team and exploit them. It's really not that difficult. Football's not that complicated. Look at what the Bears did last night. What have I been saying about the Rams for the past 2 years, Tanneby? You've got to hope that Goff is off and you need to stop Gurley early.
Brilliant.
What did they do? Gurley got nothing. He had a run in the second half, late in the game. For 10 yards, I think that was more yards than he'd gained the entire game to that point.
You've got
to
be kidding me.
They got to him early and wouldn't allow him to get some type of a rhythm going and get some type of, you know, a rhythm going.
And that offense is in trouble when they don't get Gurley going.
That's it. And then Goff, was it four picks last night? He was off. But a lot of that had to do with what Chicago did to him, see? So that's why tonight, I don't have the answers for what they need to do tonight. I don't know. I mean, I do think of some of the basic stuff. I would rather you run the ball a little bit, establish a run. But it's basically, if New England's that good, if Seattle's that good at running the ball, you can't let them just run over you. But then the double-edged sword becomes, because Wilson's so mobile and can move around and can throw the ball, there's trouble there. But the first thing is, you can't let them run the ball like they've been running it for the entire season. just can't. And then offensively, I'm still waiting for a big game out of Cousins, a really big game. And have we had one?
Remember the fourth quarter against the Packers at Lambeau, Kirk Cousins we saw?
Yes.
I want to see that guy again.
I would like to see that other than the interception, but it was waved off. But
you're right.
You're right. Yeah, that's what I would like to see as well. Ryan, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling. Let's try Ryan again. Ryan, you're on the fan. Ryan. And
it's like, hello?
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. What do you got going, me boy?
Okay, yeah. So my question for you guys is, you look back at last season, and we were 10-3, like you guys had said, going into this week. On paper, our receivers are the same, maybe a little bit better. On paper, our offensive line should be better. Our quarterback should be better. Our defense should be the exact same. Our running game should be improved with Cook coming back. What's the problem with the Vikings this year? I personally think it's Cousins. I'm not a big fan of bringing him in for how much money we did pay for the guy because, you know, we could have got Keenum for a lot less, and the offensive line should be better. The running game should be better. That means our team should be better. We came into this season with a Super Bowl hope, and right now we're just fighting for a wild card spot. I'll hang up and let you guys talk.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that the other side of the break because that's been something we've been – that's like trying to find the fountain of youth. We've been trying to figure out why is this Vikings team. It goes back to 10 we've talked about. It's the unfinished business of 09 to 2010. Sometimes expectations are too much. Every season changes, injuries, performance. More on that. Also, what was my other tease? It had something to do with the Twitter police are out in force, and with a member of the Tough Love Covenant. I don't know if you've heard about it, Tenneby, but it involves Maury Amsterdam guy and Russo. I'll explain when we come back to the Common Man program on the fan.
This is the new Common Man program on the fan. And
join the fan, the Vikings, and the United States Marine Corps on Tuesday, December 18th from 5:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. for our Toys for Tots drive at Mills Fleet Farm in Lakeville. KFN will broadcast live all day with special Vikings guests throughout the day. Donate an unwrapped toy and be entered to win Vikings prizes. Learn more at KFN.com.
Couple 13, 14 pass Common Man program. I saw there were a number of enjoyable moments from the National Football League yesterday. My favorite was the miracle in Miami. Not quite the miracle in Minneapolis. Miracle in Minneapolis had more at stake. Anytime New England loses, I am absolutely thrilled. You saw Tenby, I'm sure, the last play of the game, the razzle dazzle. It was
yes.
It was very enjoyable. So congratulations to Miami Dolphins. Of course, now the Dolphins will be coming here on a high. That's our next opponent.
Next week, yeah.
Not trying to get too far ahead of ourselves, but that is our next opponent. The caller before the break wanted to hear what we had to say about why the Vikings aren't the Vikings of last year. I go back to, we talked about this earlier in the year, Tenneby. I've been trying to warn people, particularly people that are afflicted with Avatar. We thought Kirkuset might help, Zimmerall. Back in the day, we thought Norvacaine was a really good prescription to ease and dull the pain and maybe even cure Avatar. Nothing's worked at this point. We think the only thing that will, we're not sure, would be a big game victory. But I go back to 09. We were 12 men in the huddle and a ball across the body from going to the big game. We lose to the Saints during Bounty Gate. Next year, we load back up. We convince Favre to come. The team is really almost identical. There might have been one exit or two via free agency, but we probably made additions. I think it was pretty much the same team. What happened? Went 6-10 and missed the playoffs, and that was the beginning of the middle of the end. Favre was hurt during the Bears game and never played again. And so that was my warning going into this year. The Vikings, those in charge of the club thought we were an upgraded quarterback away from getting to the big game. They thought, I don't think they thought it was a slam dunk. It was all the quarterback's fault. If it wasn't for the quarterback last year, we would have made it to the big game. I don't think they were suggesting that. I think they thought, we have a great nucleus. Here's our window. If we upgrade to a quarterback that has a stronger arm and that just a better quarterback statistically, and I guess even through an eye test, That'll give us a chance to win it. Hasn't worked out that way. Is it all Cousins' fault? No. Caller made a point we've been making all year. You spend $84 million guaranteed and the kind of money for a first-year salary, it's hard to improve the offensive line. Offensive line, though, hasn't been. I don't think last year's offensive line was much better than this year's offensive line. Do you?
The difference is you have a quarterback who can make your offensive line look better last year than you do this year.
And I think that was it.
He would just... He'd step up in the pocket. He would escape the pocket.
Running game.
We don't have that anymore.
Running game. I know we have Dalvin back, but we had a solid running game last year with Latavius. Remember, all everybody did was sing the praises of age of Latavius. He was playing very well. Thielen and Diggs. The defense was brilliant. The same. The defense might have been a little better last year, but basically the same. Same numbers. Things just... Do you think they're asking the same questions in Philadelphia? They won the whole thing, and they're worse off than we are. They're donezo, right? Pretty much, unless, I mean,
they need the Vikings to lose tonight.
Yeah, they need to win out, and they need to have a bunch of things happen in their favor, too. I'm sure they're asking the same questions there. What happened, right? So, I just think it's extending, and we've had more injuries.
They won the thing with the backup quarterback last year, getting their starter back.
Yeah, and they're getting their starter back, and they're probably wondering what's going on. And then we have had a bit more of an injury bug, particularly defensively, right, than we had last year. We were almost injury-free last year defensively. We've lost man games to injury this year. Has that been part of the problem, do you think, or not necessarily?
Yeah, a little bit defensively. Yeah, why they went from the number one defense to number six or wherever.
Yeah.
A little bit of that can be associated with injury.
Some of it probably has to do with this. So I don't think there's really any easy answer. Things just then you also have, and again, this is the intangible stuff you don't know. You had so much confidence last year because things were going so well every single week and you're on a roll. And now it's like, I'm sure you got a coach that's questioning the play calling and you have issues here and issues there and here's an issue, there's an issue, and everywhere's an issue. So maybe there's the confidence and that vibe. You know, we look for that vibe, all that intangible stuff. That's probably has something to do with it as well. So, and that's why it was even weeks ago where I just... My gadfly sense was tingling. Doesn't mean it can't get turned around. We've talked about this. There have been teams that win a few games late, go in as a sixth seed, and get all the way to the big game and win it. So it's not like we're completely donezo. As a matter of fact, it still looks favorable for the Vikings, even with a loss tonight, right? Miami here. If you can't beat Miami here, then you don't deserve to be in the playoffs. Got Miami here. Travel to Motor City. That's
a disinterested
team that can't do anything offensively. They're awful offensively. And then comes down to the Bears and here.
And who even knows what that means at that point.
That's it. Bears could have it. No, there might not be any win or lose. The Bears might have their playoff spot locked up as far as what seed they are when they play. So it might not make much of a difference. Now here's the Twitter thing. Senior staff writer, Maury Amsterdam guy. We text and talk more than most people know. He yesterday morning, he decided to go on Twitter like he occasionally does. He enjoys going on Twitter, right? Here's what he gets. We've temporarily limited some of your account features. Then it says, what happened? We have determined that this account violated the Twitter rules, specifically for, number one, violating our rules against abusive behavior. You may not engage in the targeted harassment of someone or incite other people to do so. We consider abusive behavior an attempt to harass, intimidate, or silence someone else's voice. Do you know what the tweet was?
Well, first off, my first thought is what took so long with him.
I said he should have been banned for life. He had a 12-hour, they made it a 12-hour ban. 12.
Oh, no.
A 12,
not
oh, no,
12
not
hours.
But a 12-hour ban off Twitter. Now, for a bit of the background. Apparently, Russo tweeted out a picture of two guys fighting. Do you know this tweet?
Yes.
And they didn't throw a punch.
A video. They just kept flipping each other the bird.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Flipping each other. And then he said something to the effect, Russo, did you see the Russo tweet? He said he tweeted it. And he said something like, if I was ever going to get in a fight, this is how I would do it or something.
Yes.
So, this is what, now, more Amsterdam guy tells me, one of Russo's quirks if you call it a quirk, habits, right. Same as mine.
He's got lots of quirks, yeah.
Drinking coffee.
Yes.
He loves to drink coffee.
He makes fun of himself for it, yeah.
Right, right. Okay. So here what Maury Amsterdam guys sent out, and this was considered abusive behavior when he wrote, at Russo Hockey, it'd be tough to throw a punch with a Starbucks in your hand.
It's a good line.
Violence, Tenneby. Where is that intimidating? He was making a joke about a guy, you know, if you had a, because he's always drinking Starbucks,
yeah.
So it would be hard to throw a punch at the star. Twitter banned him for that.
You've got to be kidding me.
So someone has to report him on that, right? I mean, you don't just get, Twitter doesn't just magically find that.
I guess. And then finally, account unlocked. Thank you for addressing this issue. Your account is now available for use. To prevent future lockouts or account suspension, please review the Twitter rules and help us maintain a safe environment for everyone on Twitter.
I always love that one.
That might be one of the most ridiculous and preposterous things I've ever been alerted to. Where is, I mean, again, I guess they're just doing it blanket where it sounded violent to me. He talked about fighting. Or is it Starbucks? Is there, because Starbucks, again, is a controversy. Because remember, they had the controversy where they threw the two people out of the store.
Yeah.
Right? Then they've had the controversy with their Christmas coffee cups and all this. So these companies are always, I mean, they want their public image to be squeaky clean, sure. And no controversy. So do you think somebody with Starbucks is constantly looking, but I don't know how they would know that they were mentioned because it wasn't at Starbucks.
Well, you can still find out because like I probably shouldn't state this, but I have a separate thing on my tweet deck that anytime the letters KFAN are mentioned,
okay,
the tweet pops up. So it doesn't have to be at KFAN.
Oh.
So it can just be some guy taking a shot at KFAN.
I see.
And that'll pop. And I'm sure lots of companies do that, right? Where you just have a search feed for Starbucks anytime someone mentions Starbucks, whether they're added or not.
Because who would complain to Maury about, you know, who that would follow Maury Amsterdam guy, which is like four people. And now we know Russo has a lot of followers, but who following Russo would go, I'm going to report this to Twitter. He's threatening Russo, or which it isn't even a threat to Russo, is it? Or is it by saying it'd be tough to throw a punch with a Starbucks in your hand? Come and get me, coppa. It's so preposterous.
Yeah. So you can show the video of the two guys violently flicking each other off, but if you make the joke about the Starbucks.
I find it, and this is why I find the whole social media phenomena, why I participate. I think I told you, I use mine as batting practice. It's sort of like, this is the game. You know, 5 days a week, I'm here on the Fan,
like the
Monday
Twins,
through Friday.
You charge people to pay for you?
Well, I don't. I think Twitter's free. But I use Twitter as batting practice. I use that as to keep sharp with cheap shots, like I had several yesterday. Which, again, somebody didn't understand. It's just amazing. I'm watching the Green Bay game because I want to see what we expected. Aaron Rodgers to have a great day now that Mike McCarthy's not there anymore.
Yeah.
The new what's the coach's first name? Last name is Philbin. Joe Philbin. He challenges two referees calls in the first three plays of the game and loses them both.
You've got to be kidding me.
I mean, 45 seconds into the game, they're out of challenges.
And I wasn't watching it. Were they obvious?
Well,
were they really bad decisions, or were they kind of
questionable? They were questionable. I mean,
you can see why he threw the challenge flag.
Yeah, particularly on the first one. But here's where people again. This is what I tweeted. Two bad challenges. ... This Philbin character is in over his head. They should rehire McCarthy. It's supposed to, see, you got a little chuckle out of that, right? It was just supposed to be practice.
Yeah.
I'm throwing out a cheap shot trying to be funny. That, of course, you're not going to rehire McCarthy. Of course, you get responses, right? Here's one of them that I get. Well, one of them is the Joker. The Delicious. I get that all the time.
When
But he says, you think the first one was a catch? Come on, Common. Well, no, I don't know if it was a catch or not. I'm just I'm trying to make
just
fun
the line.
Yeah, that Philbin in his first 45 seconds as a head coach loses his first two challenges and out him for a game. And of course, you're not going to rehire McCarthy. Somebody's having fun. But beside that, if you want to actually get technical about it, it was the first play of the game on a 12-yard gain. Why bother throwing the flag? Don't you want to save your challenges in case there's something really critical? I mean, that play could end up being critical. It wasn't. I just think throwing a challenge flag early in the game on a 12-yard game is stupid. I wouldn't do it. Just wouldn't do it.
If it's an obvious overturn.
Now, this one was...
Because if you get it right, you still have two more after that,
because this one was kind of hard to see because he kind of had... I mean, you look at it, looked like he didn't have complete control. But again, you know on the overturning of calls, they tend to more times than not. I don't know what the percentage is. I'm sure it's out there. I'm sure an analytic guy or sabermetric guy could tell me how many times is a play overturned after a challenge. I bet it's...
More now than when we had the replacement officials.
This is true.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Replacement officials were better officials. But I bet it can't be more than, 25-30%, right? I don't know what that number is. But, again, people on Twitter not always understanding where you're... I was just making a joke about even, whether they're bad challenges or not. Maybe it wasn't that funny of a line. I thought it was pretty good.
It's all right, yeah.
It's all right, but again, I'm just practicing. It's like they're
It wasn't a Miguel Sano 475-foot
no
batting practice
no,
home
no,
run.
No, no, it wasn't like saying the Twins have named a park after Miguel Sano. The Twins built a park, their community, the Twins Community Fund built a park. It's called Miguel Sano Park. It just has three swings and a bench. It's not as good as that line.
No.
But it's still kind of a funny, fire McCarthy. This guy's thinking like, what do you mean? You can't think that was a catch, do you? Well, no, let's not get carried away now. But that's what you get with Twitter.
Well, and back to Maury Amsterdam guy.
Yeah.
You know it's liberal bias by Twitter, right?
Well.
He's a crackpot conservative.
Well, and crackpot.
It's the liberal Twitter trying to get after him.
And crackpot conservatives are always inciting violence.
Yep.
We know that. That's what I sent him. I said, you should have been banned for life. And I said, you crackpot conservatives inciting violence. See, again, and that was, if I had tweeted that, I'd get destroyed by the crackpot conservatives, right? But it's just a joke between Maury Amsterdam guy and I. Do I really think that crackpot conservatives are inciting violence? Well, yeah. Now, see, I'm going to get ripped for that. We're just trying. All we're trying to do is have fun. You're having fun. I'm having fun. The audience is having fun. When we return, we'll do 5-3-4.
Stunning, shocking news out of Target Field.
People all over the Twin Cities are loving the new program.
Hey, what's up, man? Love the new program. Awesome. Much better than before.
The new Common Man program on the Fan.
Programming on the Fan today is brought to you by Twin City Honda Dealers. Head on out to the Halftime Rec in St. Paul on Thursday from 7 to 9 to play some bubble hockey with me, Tana B, and Pat Micheletti. Thanks to Michelob Golden Light, you'll have a chance to win tickets to an upcoming Wild game. KFAN.com, keyword events.
Listen as your day unfolds. Challenge what the future holds. Try and keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears. Go ahead, release your fears. Stand up and be counted. Don't be ashamed to cry. You gotta be bad. You gotta be bold. You gotta be wiser.
Couple 13-14 pass here in the Common Man program. Getting plenty of reaction. We're getting hundreds.
Hundreds?
Hundreds of emails at the Bradshaw and Bryant inbox. People expressing their feelings as to why the Vikings, despite the fact that it looked roster-wise, all they did was make improvements to the club during the offseason, are just not where they were this year as last year, and the hope for the immediate future, while it's not completely bleak, it certainly, again, doesn't look like it did last year. We'll do that a little bit later on the Grum. Right now, though, it's time for 5-3-4.
Time now for 5 questions. Well, actually 3, but 5 sounds like more than 4. Brought to you by Joffy LASIK. Question number 1.
We're gonna win, Twins, we're gonna score.
It's now time to delve deep into Twins territory.
Cheer for the Minnesota Twins today.
According to Lavelle Neal, the Star Tribune, the Twins will not be in the Manny Machado and Bryce Harper free agent sweepstakes. Common.
Oh my gosh.
How shocking is this news to you?
Well, it wasn't. He didn't deliver it like it was breaking news, did he? I hope not.
Well, it was in the headline of the story.
Yeah. It's... Man bites dog. No, that's not right. It does, no, obviously. And you know what? I'll even defend the club a little bit in this regard. They could like sign them both and probably wouldn't make any difference with this team because we've got no pitching. You know what? They would turn this club around. We can build this thing together, stand as strong forever. This team is, I believe, so far. Here's the big story today. They've got a camera watching Miguel Sano at the breakfast, lunch, and dinner table to make sure he's getting in shape. You saw that, didn't you? I mean, I'm exaggerating. I mean, they don't actually have a camera, but that's how they check in on him is via video.
FaceTime him during dinner?
FaceTime him, make sure that he's eating right and that he's taking care of himself. That's what our biggest concern. I mean, think about that. The guy that we gave an 8-year, $80 million, no way, we didn't do that.
But we should have.
The guy that we're counting on to be a cornerstone of this club, instead of working on cutting down his strikeouts a little bit, get him hit to the opposite field occasionally, drive in some more runs, get better in the field, maybe move him over to first base where he should be, we're worried about will he come to spring training under 300 pounds. That's our biggest concern. It's, yeah, we don't spend free agent dollars really ever. The only time the Twins spend money on free agents, big money, on free agents, is when we have to retain our own. It's happened. It happened with Mauer, and that's really it, right? Have we given anybody else big money? Did Morneau make?
Morneau got good money.
He got good money. So yeah. He was coming off. I don't know if he got paid immediately following the MVP season. If it wasn't, maybe it was shortly thereafter or before when they knew they had to. They lowball Hunter. Right?
Yeah.
And they weren't going to pay Santana. So this, no, comes as a surprise to no one. I don't think that we weren't going to be in those sweepstakes. It's almost not even really worth a headline. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It would be a headline if they did. If all of a sudden it was Falvey, you know, .. We're in it to win it. We're going to be big spenders in free agency. We're going after some of the big names. That would be a headline. That'd be breaking news. The Twins aren't going to do it, no. It's not surprising.
Question number two. Time now for an in-depth look at the state of the state of hockey.
The Wild lost 7-2 in Edmonton on Friday night and did so without Mikko Koivu, who suffered a lower body injury the previous night in Calgary. The Wild recalled Luke Cunnan from Iowa yesterday. Common, are the Wild about to swoon?
They are swooning, aren't they?
Sure, I don't know if it's been long enough to be considered a swoon. I'm not sure.
Right, okay. Well,
are we in the beginning of the swoon? Are we in the beginning of the end of the swoon? The middle of the end? Beginning of the beginning?
Well, my guess is, unless this is the end of the end of the end of this core group of players, that they'll come out of this and what we started the season red hot, we'll probably get back to playing, winning games and accumulating points and make the playoffs as they call them wild cards now, right? We do it. They actually have wild cards. We'll grab a wild card spot, and then we'll be, well, if you're a wild card, who do you think you'd probably play? Just give me a possible matchup.
The wild cards play the two division winners.
Okay.
So that's how that works.
So
face Nashville, or I think Calgary's on top of the Pacific. I haven't looked at the standings.
And do you think those will probably stay? I know things can change, but what would be your guess? If you're going to guess
it's going to be Nashville or Winnipeg in our division.
Okay.
So in the Pacific, who knows?
So how do we match up against Nashville and Winnipeg? You know, again, there you go. That's, to me, it's like, okay, you make the playoffs like you have the last 6 years in a row. 4 1-and-dones, 2 second-round and out. So I don't know. It's this team seems to be the same almost year after year after year. They have stretches where they play really well. It looks like all the pieces are in place. They look Skatriots-like. Then there are times where they're playing out where you go, this team's a mess. So you tell me. My guess is they'll qualify for the playoffs, and they'll probably get dumped in the first or second round. You can neg a trauma. Go ahead. Give me another shot of it. This is the year that's different. This is the year we're going to make it all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals.
So basically your prediction would be like saying the Twins aren't going to go after Machado or Bryce Harper in free agency.
Exactly. It's exactly
same old, same old.
I don't think they're going to make a deep run into the playoffs. I do not.
No!
Question number three. It's now time to take an in-depth look at the welfare of the Wolves.
Mouth is alive, juice is like wine, and I'm hungry like the Wolves.
Wolves are in Golden State tonight to take on the Warriors. Common, how will the Wolves fare against
Death Lineup?
Well, they had trouble. They lost to Portland, but the excuse computer was running locally. It's because Rocco was out. Had Rocco been there, we would have won by 20. There was another excuse that was offered up as to why we lost. Was it travel or not sleeping in our own beds? I don't remember.
Oh, what is that, about a 6,000-mile flight?
6,000 miles, just yeah. Ask John Gruden. So there were excuses offered up as to why they lost. I don't believe, you know, not having Rocco is, he has been sort of a spark plug for this team, right? He plays terrific defense. Other guys in the team seem to like him, and they're sort of following his lead, so they claim. Still think a lot of them are trying to show you, Jimmy Butler. But if Death Lineup takes the game seriously. By the way, do we know any more about Rocco? Is he available tonight? Because was it a knee thing? That's why he wasn't available. Anytime I hear about knee injuries, and really in any sport, I get I have a tendency to worry.
As of 11 hours ago, so maybe there's been new news that I just haven't seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
But a CBSSports.com report said Wolves, Robert Covington, probable for Monday.
Okay, so probable. So if the Wolves play their best and Death Lineup's disinterested, the Wolves can win. But if Death Lineup decides this is an important game to us, we're in the mood to play, we're going to go out and try to get a W here. I don't think the Wolves has what it takes because Golden's Death Lineup is, I still believe, even though they've lost more games this year, or as many games this year, as they lost in all of 2016? They're still, to me, I don't think anybody would argue with me, would they? They're still, player for player, the best team in pro basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're interested, I just don't see the Wolves beating them. It's like playoff series, you know, 4-1. So could the Wolves win tonight? Yeah, but I don't believe they will. Sorry, I'm being negative. I don't think the Wolves win tonight unless Golden State is disinterested. And then how would you know if they weren't interested? That's the other thing. If the Wolves were win, how do I know? I don't know. I guess you can just tell by watching if a team's interested or not. But I really don't like their chances very much tonight.
Well, if they do happen to win tomorrow, you can go to PapaJohns.com, put in the online promo code WolvesWin. You'll get 50%. Off a large or extra large pizza.
Question number three. NFL no huddle.
Common, which game had the most dramatic ending yesterday? Would you say Dolphins over the Patriots, Raiders over the Steelers, or Cowboys over the Eagles?
Well, Cowboys-Eagles was pretty dramatic. It was OT, right?
Yeah.
And it was it a tip pass, too?
It was.
So that's dramatic.
Amari Cooper's third touchdown.
And an important game. The Miami game, New England, because it was a razzle-dazzle last play of the game, but regulation and It's a New England's making the playoffs no matter what, but that's an exciting win. I would still put the Dallas fill it. And what was your other choice?
Raiders over the Steelers.
How did that end? I know the Steelers lost, but
the Steelers also had a little razzle dazzle by they did a hook and ladder to get into field goal range.
Oh, and then the guy slipped and missed the
kicker
field goal.
Slipped on the.
Well, that's dramatic, but not quite as much as the tip pass in overtime. Or I put that in third place.
Well, the amazing thing is the Chiefs Ravens game was a relatively epic game, and there were so many just dramatic finishes yesterday. It's not even in the top three, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're right.
But that was a great game.
It was
great finish. Bears beat the Rams 15-6 last night at Soldier Field.
Whoa. Say that again. I must have heard you wrong. Said the Bears beat the Rams. How is that possible?
Low scoring game, too. 15-6.
No, that must have been 150-6, right? The Rams ran just up into because nobody. You can't stop the Rams or the Chiefs or the Saints. You can't stop them.
No, you can if you intercept the ball four times and stop Gurley from running the ball.
And get to Gurley early? Yeah. Oh, you can. Okay. So Bears win.
Bears won 15-6. Does this mean Chicago's maybe better than what we thought, or the Rams aren't as good as we thought?
I'll go combo platter, and I'll say it, I'll give more credit to the Bears. Now, again, December football on the road, it's cold. Cold weather seems to always benefit defense, right? I mean, we've seen high-scoring games in cold weather, but generally speaking, it's your fingers are frosted. You're not as nimble. You're not as quick. So defense generally has an advantage, I think, in colder weather. I mean, it wasn't frozen tundra Lambeau Field-like, but it was. You could see their breath. So I think it's because it's a little of both, but I would say the Bears, especially defensively, like Trubisky wasn't very good last night, was he? The guy that was good last night from the parts I saw was the Cohen.
Cohen's really good.
He's a really good player. And so that was what they had.
What was he, like a third-round pick, something like that?
Yeah.
So always amazes me when guys that talented drop.
Yep.
In the NFL draft.
Good. Well, it goes to show you why it's such an imprecise.
Inexact science.
I think it's because I'll say both. I don't think the Rams are quite as terrific as everybody. It's a flavor of the day. That's what happens. I was talking to somebody about it today. It's media members more than anyone want to be the first guy to be on to something new. I noticed this first. You see what I got? I do that myself by trying to tell people offense isn't. We're not seeing a major sea change here, folks. We're just seeing a couple of good offensive teams with good weapons. The Mahomes kid has been playing out of his head. When you got guys, if you replaced the skill position players on the Rams and Kansas City with some just average guys, those offenses wouldn't be as explosive. A lot of it has to do, some of it's the schemes, but most of it's if you got guys that can break tackles and get open and catch passes and quarterbacks that have great arms and know what they're doing, that has more to do with it than anything. So what was your question, by the way?
Did I answer? Bears versus Rams. Are Bears better than we thought or Rams
Bears
worse
defense,
than we thought?
I think the Bears defense. The addition of Mack is. You know what else I liked? I tweeted this last night, too. How about the Bears' touchdown when they had almost as many defensive players on the field as they had offensive players when they scored their touchdown on that razzle-dazzle when they faked the handoff?
That was unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah. Well, wait, no, I thought it was all about offense. That's what was so. I was just ironic. It was not only was it a defensive game and defense ruled the day, but then on the one touchdown the Bears scored, it was defensive players that had a major hand in it. It was just terrific. I just loved it. Even though I didn't like seeing the Bears win because of the Vikings.
Vikings got some help yesterday because Panthers lost, Eagles lost, Washington lost. Common, which team currently behind the Vikings for that final playoff spot scares you the most?
Who were they again?
Eagles lost, Panthers lost, Washington lost.
I would say Eagles, even though I think they're done so. Because did Cam lose to the Browns?
Yes.
You're donezo, right? I know the Browns are better, but you're donezo.
Browns are all right.
And then Washington got destroyed.
Well, they are donezo.
Yeah, they're donezo.
They got Mark Sanchez playing.
So I would say it would be the Eagles, but
You know who would scare me the most if we didn't have the tiebreaker on them? The Green Bay Packers without Mike McCarthy.
Boy. Objects in your mirror may be closer than they appear.
Because if the Vikings lose tonight, I believe we're only one game ahead of Green Bay. Fortunately, if we tie them at the end of the regular season, we've got the tiebreaker.
We could lose to Miami.
We'd have to go 1-3. And then they went out.
We're losing tonight, right? 0-1.
No!
Miami just beat the Patriots.
Well, let's say we beat... See, here's what I... If Detroit can't even win at home. That's the thing. Detroit is so bad. Generally, I would always say, you know, Central Division collision. You know, you can never... You know, No, the Lions are so bad. So I don't see how the Vikings can go 1-3. I think they go 2-2 at worst. They beat Miami and they beat Detroit.
And that's it for today's edition of Five Questions. Brought to you by Joffy LASIK. Well, actually, three questions, but five sounds like more than four.
More on what's right and what's wrong with the purple on the other side of the break. But something else I want to get to, Tenneby, is... How do I tease this? Is some ripping off limits? I'll explain when we return to the Common Man program here on The Fan.
People all over the Twin Cities are loving the new program.
Man, love how the program is much more local. I can listen longer at work.
The new Common Man program on The Fan.
The bluest skies you've ever seen are in Seattle. And the hills, the greenest green in Seattle. Like a beautiful child growing up free and wild.
Full of hopes and full of fears. Full of laughter, full of tears. Full of dreams to last the years in Seattle. In Seattle.
When it's time to leave your home and your loved ones, it's the hardest thing.
Couple 13-14 pass here on the Common Man program. I was talking with Big Ticket yesterday. We text and talk more than most people know. I guess he caught some heat. I don't know what he tweeted exactly, but the Minnesota Golden Gopher volleyball team lost in the semifinals to Oregon. A team that had beaten us before, apparently, earlier in the year, had handed us one of our two match losses this year. Gophers, I think we won the first set.
We did.
Second set looked like we were going to win. It was a dive by Triple S. She got her hand down, set it up. Oregon reviewed it, said, we think the ball hit the floor of the court. So I guess you get challenges. You can have reviews. They overturned the call. Oregon went on to win like 49-47 or something. It was epic is what it was. The Gophers then went and lost the next set decisively. And then the fourth set, they lost three games to one, whatever they call it. They lost a close one and they were donezo. By the way, had the Vikings not been playing on a Monday night, we probably would have had a sad eyes montage for the volleyball team, though I don't think you can get a lot of highlights.
That'd be a little challenging.
It'd be a little challenging. You could probably find them. And I don't remember what, I think Burrow tweeted something, and then I think he got ripped for being critical of the girls, the gals, the women. Was the gist of what I got. You're not allowed to criticize them. And it's like, well, again, we've debated this before, too. Why would a sports team be off limits because they're women? Are we saying they can't handle the criticism? Isn't that even more damaging than ripping them if you're basically coddling them and saying, we got to be nice to them? Now, I don't know. There are limits in anything. You know, when you're, and everybody has their own what they consider going too far.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rip is in the eye of the beholder, or the beholder, or the beseer, right? Some rips go a little too far, others don't. okay? They're certainly up for Christmas. Something happened where they were obviously devastated by the 49-47, whatever it was, loss. And then they lost something in that next set. They weren't able to somehow, I don't know, if we, psychologically, or maybe Oregon was so pumped up, I didn't see it.
Sure.
So I don't know. Maybe they were so pumped up by winning that match that there was nothing Minnesota could do. My guess was probably a combination of the two. Because when you lose a grueling match like that, especially when you thought you might have had it, it's snatched away in a replay and you lose, yeah, you're going to be down. So that, but that's, I mean, this volleyball team has been nationally ranked, what, 1, 2, 3 for a couple of years now. Last year, did they lose in the Final Four last year in the semis, I think? I'm pretty sure they lost.
I think that's correct.
In the semis last year. Then you lose in, was it the semifinals again this year? Was
no,
it
I no, mean,
in the quarters.
Semis of the regional.
Right, semis of the regional.
Yeah. So there's still 16 teams left.
Is there still 16?
No, that's when they lost.
When they lost, it was 16.
If they would have won, they'd gone down to 8. Now they're down to 4.
Right. So, I mean, personally, and again, I don't want people to take this wrong. I don't care enough. And I think the general sporting public, in general, doesn't care enough that for me it's worth even. I saw the result in the paper and said, well, that's odd. I didn't think they'd lose. I thought they'd beat Oregon. But I didn't all of a sudden finding a desire to go to Twitter and comment on it or do a snarky, you know, maybe consider it a cheap shot. I could have, just didn't. And it wasn't because they're women. It just didn't matter enough to me, right? But do you think women's sports should be, if the Minnesota, our hockey team, do we win every single year the national championship?
Not lately.
No.
But they had a good run there for a while.
I thought we were winning every single year.
I mean, 3 years ago, whenever that was, yes.
Lynx.
Last year
How about when the Lynx was? We always had fun with the Lynx. I mean, I don't think we ever savaged them. But we would talk about, my guess is knowing me as well as I know me and I'm me, I probably threw out a, Reeve has got to go, time to blow it up. I'm sure I did that. Some snarky cheap shots. Do you think that, where do you draw a line? Like, I don't like ripping high school kids.
No.
I'll poke fun at my own son, you know, when they participate, but that's just between the two of us having fun. But I think, first of all, I think some people think you shouldn't even go after college kids. Female or male, that you should use kid gloves when you're talking about kids. That's only the pros you should be able to really criticize. Do you have a...
I do think there's a... I wouldn't say college kids in general you can't criticize, because I do think you should be able to criticize them, but I do draw that there is a difference between someone who gets paid to do it professionally
right,
and someone who's either paid their way or got a scholarship to play. I do think there's a difference there.
So you would go ahead and rip
the contest? But then I think there's another... But they are an adult. They are adults.
Let me get my cheap shot in first. So you do think you can cheap shot the Kentucky men's basketball team? Okay, go ahead.
I always love that.
You were saying.
But they are adults as opposed to high school kids.
Right.
So high school kids, especially as someone who, like me, who coached for a long time, you know, especially the incident that came out with the guy who won the Heisman, and they went back and found tweets when he was 14 years old.
Yep.
You know how many dumb things are said when you're 14 years old.
Correct.
And to use that against him now,
yeah,
I think is... I'm not willing to go there.
Right.
I would think that I said a lot of dumb things.
You've said dumb things just in this show today.
But
last segment.
But when you're 14, 15 year old, your brain is not fully grown enough to have the capacity to know what you're fully what you're saying. I mean, so to even give criticism to someone who's 14, 15
and
is a joke to me.
And I don't know anything about is the kid's name Kyler Murray? Is he the one that won the Heisman? Is that his name? I don't know anything about, I didn't see the tweets. I just saw that
I just saw the story about him.
Yeah, I just saw that he apologized for some tweets. You're right, when you're 14 and 15 years old, some of that's peer pressure too, right? You know, you're supposed to think a certain way and act a certain way. I'm not.
You try to say things that are going to be cool to your friends.
Right, right. So I'm not. And again, this isn't to try to absolve him of anything. I don't know if he should be absolved of anything. Again, this is another story that, quite frankly, I don't care enough about to really take a. I'm going to really take a stand here on this one. I think you're right that he was.
But I just
young,
remember when I was coaching, and now I'm coaching 16, 17, 18 year old kids as opposed to 14, 15.
Right.
And I would see some of the stuff they would tweet and thinking to myself, man, if 4 years from now they're going to. Really hate that they did that.
Yes.
And think, what was I doing? What was I thinking?
Yeah. Well, you and I have had this discussion before. I've talked about it on air. Most of my tweets, while they may be cheap shots, but there's nothing vulgar. There's nothing. There's nothing that's real insulting. I don't think it's all. It's intended to be good natured when I have fun, like with the Philbin. Well, I should get rid of him. He's in over his head. They should hire Mike McCarthy back. Boom. Right. There's those kinds of things, right?
Yep.
There have been a handful of tweets that I even thought I might want to send, and then I look and go, nope. Because that will be interpreted by somebody else as saying something that I did not mean, and then I just say, it's not worth it. Same thing on the air. I'm sure you've had a line or two you think, God, that's kind of a funny line there, but I could see where it could be taken wrong, taken out of context, and I don't want
it. Which it will be.
Which will be, exactly.
On social media.
And so I don't want anything to do with it. So, but now, yeah.
Back to your original topic about the ladies, though. You know, you were saying it's by using kid gloves with women as opposed to men, it's almost going against, you're saying they can't handle criticism, which is, and I agree with that premise. And anyone that would want to criticize the volleyball team or even the professionals in town, like the Lynx, I'm fine with. Me personally, I have a harder time criticizing women than I do with men.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, because you do feel like you're the protector of them.
Well, I would say that's partially correct, yes. Uh-huh. I would also say I think in general they just receive a lot more criticism in general, so then for me to add, you know what I mean?
Like, they do?
Well, yeah, I mean, like women on television compared to men on television are going to get...
The guys that say the only reason she's there is her good looks.
Yes.
She's terrible
ripped
at what she does.
Or why are you wearing that dress? Why are you looking like that? There's just a lot more crap that, and as someone who has a wife in a male-dominated business, I know the stuff she has to go through compared to men. So therefore, I try to avoid piling on, even though I have no problem with someone criticizing an athlete that is a female that's at the college or professional level, because to me, I understand your point on it as well.
It's controversial. We'll continue on that. A couple of emails regarding this topic on the other side of the break, including we have some people that have their theories about the Vikings, some good emails. We'll get to a couple of those, and then Mark Rosen at 2 here on The Fan.
It's the new Common Man program on The Fan.
The Fan and Green Mill are going to be hooking listeners up with all the delicious grub they need for their next at-home tailgate party. Head to KFAN.com, make the keyword contest for your shot at a $150 Green Mill gift card for your tailgate.
I just sent you?
Yeah.
So, this is emailer's three daughters doing this song. I expected to hear like a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 6-year-old going, rap-a-ba, and that was cute and funny.
Yeah. That was like a serious recording.
Well, yes, it is a serious recording. And we've discovered them. They should be on, what's it called, The Voice?
Yes.
Or, no, what's the new one? Ski Mask Voice.
What?
Haven't you seen it?
What's Ski Mask Voice?
Now they're going to do a show of The Voice where the person, you can't see who they are.
Well, that's the way it is now. They just have their chairs turned.
No, it's called Ski Mask. Haven't you seen it?
No.
IHOP it. I used to look to you as being the guy that was hip now. No, it's not Ski Mask.
Before I had 2 children.
You were the guy I looked at, and I guess it's not called Ski Mask, but it's masked.
Clearly it's not, based on what I Googled.
Look up masked voice or mask.
Is it the voice? Is it the same?
I think it's the same. I don't know. Deuce and I rolled our eyes, shook our shoulders, and shrugged our heads. There's a new show coming on where they're going to have a mask on. And we're not going to know who it is. You think I'm making it up? I saw it. I didn't make this up.
Don't think you're explaining it well enough.
I think I'm explaining it perfectly well enough. They're going to wear a mask, and you're not going to know who it is. I don't know if it's a brown paper bag, like unknown comic or Lions fans. See if you can find
this. This band name is Red Path.
They're very good.
It's on iTunes.
Yeah, he said, I sent this. He goes, it says, comment forwarding this to you today. Attaches an MP3 of my three daughters singing the little drummer boy sound, John. I think it's very
sounds
good.
Like the next Dixie Chicks, what it sounds like to me.
I think we may have just discovered somebody, Tennessee. Right here on the Grump. It's what we do. We're always cutting edge. It's what we try to be. There was something else. Quickly.
About the Jimmy Johnson News Conference?
Well, there's that. Quickly, there's some breaking news as it happens. Emailer says that Johnny Krasinski is reporting that Rocco is a go. It's official. Rocco is a go.
Rocco is a go. Rocco is a go.
What do you think Death Lineup thinks now with Rocco back? Rocco misses Portland, we get drilled. Rocco back for Death Lineup, I like our chances tonight. Rocco is a go. Two other
I have some breaking news, too. The Twins apparently will not be in the mix for Dallas Keuchel.
Wait, hold on again. Let's give you a little bit of a...
Well, there's that.
Or do we need that?
Oh, my gosh.
Or do we need... Here is an email on one of our topics, Tennessee. Two of our topics from the last segment before we take a phone call and get back to some of the Viking-related emails. This one says Twitter timeline. Says, Common, while I agree that it's not exactly fair to hold tweets from years ago against people, why hasn't every athlete slash prospective athlete slash rising star gone through their Twitter and deleted any questionable content to avoid it? It's more surprising to me that they haven't as opposed to what the content of the tweets actually are. Yes, they shouldn't have tweeted it to begin with, but how many people have we seen this Twitter tomfoolery take down? People aren't learning the lesson and are condemned to repeat the past mistakes. Just my two cents. Keep up the great, the good. Keep on keeping on. World's okayest hockey talker guy. Maybe you can explain it to me because I think you understand social media better than I do. If I sent out a tweet right now, didn't like it, and deleted it an hour later, is it still out there somewhere?
If somebody took like a picture of it or a screenshot of it.
Right.
Now, that exact tweet would be deleted, so if someone went through your Twitter account, it wouldn't be there.
Right.
But it could still be out on the internet somewhere as long as...
So that's probably what's happened in this case. Or do you think he did not delete his... And does your Twitter... Does every tweet you've ever sent, can it be found on your Twitter account? I mean, I've sent...
I believe so.
Because I've sent... when I've gone to my homepage before, I think I've sent likes... I've been a member, I think it says, since like... Could it be as far back as 2009? Has it been around that long, or am I wrong? Maybe it's 2013, whatever it is. It says I've sent out like 6,000 tweets. Meat Sauce does that in a week. I get that. But does that mean all 6,000 plus of my tweets, you can scroll back and find them?
That would take a while.
It would take, well, certainly.
Yeah.
But you would be able to find that.
It'd be time consuming.
That's interesting.
It's not like a college player has like... employees under him, you know, like a representation that can just do this on the side.
Right. But could you go back and like every day just take care of your own? In other words, let's say I sent four tweets today. At the end of the day, I could look at them and go, yep, there they are, and then just delete, and they'd be gone.
Sure.
Much like how I go through and let's say I'll have, with more Amsterdam guy, when I try to get him going with my lunatic liberalism when he's doing a crap boxer, sometimes it'll be up to hundreds of text messages back and forth. I eventually go back and just delete them all. Done. Right?
Yeah.
You go back and you delete. Through the years, me and you, we don't talk much on Twitter. We don't text or talk as much as people would think we do.
No!
But when I do, I'll go back every once in a while. It's time to purge my I think you only get so much room on your phone too. I don't know how it works, but and your memory. So I just get rid of stuff after
you declutter.
A while. Yeah, I declutter is what I do. So I don't know why more people wouldn't just declutter. Here's one more regarding the gals.
It's called the Masked Singer, by the way.
The Masked Singer. So there is
competition on January 2nd.
See, and well, how does it describe it?
Well, I'm on the actual website. They're all just wearing funny-looking masks.
The Masked Singer. What do they think
of next?
That's
basically the voice. Yeah, that's all the...
What will they think of next? This one says, comment, I think some of the people who feel they can't comment on the female athletes are because they're being jerks in the first place and thus feel bad about being jerks to women. If your comment slash critique is fair and constructive, you can say it to males or females. If it's not, you shouldn't say it to males or females. That's my two cents. The people saying you can't criticize women are probably the ones who can't be decent about it to begin with. Signed, fair guy. I think all's fair in love and war and cheap shots. I just think there's going too far with cheap shots. I think there is. There's just some things to me that, and everybody has their own. Some people think there's no holds barred. You can say whatever you want. And you can get degrading. You can even get filthy. I don't. I try to stay away from that part of it. Jeremy, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Calvin. I have kind of a theory here about the cheap shots and everything on the guys versus the gals.
Okay.
Well, the first thing is, when you go to Slander Mountain, you load up on cheap shot.
Yeah.
I'm sure a guy like yourself, you got boxes and boxes of regular old cheap shot that you use, for... But let's just call the guys like your regular big game, your white tails, your turkeys,
Right.
But every now and then you see a black bear or something, you say, you know what? Let me go see if I got a couple rounds for some exotic big game.
Sure.
And then what happens is you take that cheap shot and then you get the people that say, hey, wait a second. You can't shoot at a bear. You can't shoot. What are you doing? You're supposed to stay with the regular. And that's what it is. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
That's why. And Barrero,
okay.
I mean, he's got boxes and boxes just laying around.
Yeah.
And he's been taking cheap shots. Twitter is nothing for him. He'll just fire off a volley of cheap shots to anybody.
Sure. Yeah.
Anybody. And that's what it is. That's what the best way I can compare it to. That's why people get offended. Because every now and then you'll see some story of some hunter, that went ahead and took down a albino rhino or something.
Right, right. Something and, they're and, not supposed to, sure.
They're not supposed to, even though it might have been legal or whatever. But the people get offended about it. And that's what it is.
That makes sense, Jeremy. Thanks. I appreciate that. I think that's really, really what it is, too. Sometimes the bigger they are, the harder they fall. This emailer says, I'm sick of hearing callers complaining about the money Cousins got paid. Keenum got $20 million. That's the going money for quarterbacks these days. So everyone's assuming we kept Keenum and signed another free agent offensive lineman, we would be so much better. Who was out there to sign for the difference of $7 million in keeping Keenum versus Cousins? Everson, Griffin, and Rhodes' decrease in production has something to do with why the Vikings have struggled. We've talked about that. Injuries. There are other people that... we talked a lot about it with the Wild, remember? When the Wild made strides because some of their younger players took that next step, right? The Gronlins of the world and the Niederreiters, right? And then everybody says, well, now they're going to take another step. Well, not necessarily. That step they took might be the final step they ever take. Got to be a quality player, but not a difference-making player. Or they might even take a step back because they just had a career year. They played over their heads. Or injuries slowed them down. So that is the issue. Someone writes this. This much is obvious. Kirk is better than Keenum. So not being happy with Kirk is reasonable. Preferring Keenum is foolish. Even at $8 million less is foolish. Ask people in Denver. Yes, the offensive line is significantly worse than last year. Keenum mitigated some things, but he had a better O-line. Shermer's a far better play caller than Flip. Defense is not close to last year. Keenum could take the third down sack or throw the ball away and still win on defense. Kirk can't because of the defense. In regard to the offensive line comparisons, Reif played better than we expected last year to the point that Common was wondering where this Reif was in Detroit. He has now reverted back to the way he was in Detroit. Compton, worst left guard in football, and that might include backups. Elf's not what he was, which I attribute to the offseason surgery. Remmers is a little worse than last year, and that's saying something because he wasn't good last year. O'Neal is playing better than Hill, so I'll give you that one. Tenneby, do you agree with some of that, or weren't you even listening? See, that is the issue when you start breaking down position by position, player by player. Plus, somebody else wrote, and this is, this is absolutely true. Let me find it for you quick before we go to break and bring Mark Rosen back into the conversation. Hold on. This one here.
Yeah, Comment. Baby.
Not sure what all the questions and mystery are regarding this year's Vikings team versus last year's squad. This year, the Vikings have played a far tougher schedule and turned the ball over more. Last year, the Vikings were 13-3, but it wasn't like they were beating a bunch of good teams. They beat the Saints and Rams at home and Falcons on the road. But other than that, who did they beat? Packers twice without Rodgers, Bears twice, they were awful last year, Lions, Redskins, Buccaneers, Ravens, Bengals, Browns, they just had a much easier schedule last year. This year's schedule has been a gauntlet. That combined with the unexpected dud against the Bills and Cousins' inability to hold on to the football, and you have a recipe for failure. Vikes will lose tonight, win the last three, go 9-6-1, squeak into the playoffs, but then get bounced by the Bears in the first round. Maybe this offseason will actually address the offensive line and they'll have a shot to compete at a higher level next year while playing a second-place schedule with a question mark. Schedule does have something to do with it.
Yes.
All teams change. The bad teams last year could be better this year. The better teams last year could be worse than the year before. But last year wasn't as tough a schedule. It certainly wasn't not what it is today. So it's more complicated than just saying, hey, let's upgrade a quarterback, bring in Sheldon Richardson, and nothing's going to stop us now, right? It just isn't quite as easy as that. We have more calls coming in. We'll get to those. Also, Mark Rosen joins us, other side of the break on DeFam.
Mark Rosen joins the Common Man.
Oh, boy.
Next on The Fan.
And Mark Rosen's appearance on the program is brought to you by Inspire Therapy.
Pump up the jam. I'm the Common Man, Dan Cole. He's Tenneby. Fast-paced Common Man program today. Covered a lot of ground. Sports, sports, sports. Your whole life just sports. Mark Rosen joins us now. The Masked Singer, Mark Rosen, is the name of the show. The emailer says, it's a ripoff of what's been going on in South Korea for a while now, where famous singers all compete behind a mask, and it's a competition to see who people voted in the best, and then they reveal who that singer wins at the end. I don't know if he described that exactly, but I think that's what it is. So it would be like, for instance, Madonna will be singing behind a mask, and then the judges have to decide, who is that singing?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
The Masked Singer. Don't you follow pop culture?
No, I really don't know. Is this a TV show?
Yes.
I don't know. Don't I follow pop culture? You don't watch anything. You haven't watched anything since The Godfather.
I'm hip now with it and wow. I
mean, you haven't seen anything. Seen a movie since The Godfather. So how would you know about this?
I've been, my boy likes to watch The Office.
Well, he's got good taste. The reruns of The Office? The Phenomenal. Oh my God.
It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one of the best ensemble casts.
I know, but it's another one of those shows where you're supposed to really like the quirk.
No, I took
so
a while.
So that means you're in it.
Okay.
There are some amusing moments. There are some amusing. Yeah. I'm not saying that it's a bad show.
I got you.
But I heard from many that was the greatest show of all time.
You never watched it when it was on.
No. So my expectations are always, you know how it is when someone tells you it's the greatest thing ever, and then you go, and then you go,
I get it. You have to watch it over a period
right.
of time.
And so when I've watched it, I've been amused, but there's been times I say, oh, that's really not that funny.
I don't know about this show.
But there's a new show. It's one of those, like The Voice.
Yeah.
And like, what was the other one? What was the original one of those?
American Idol.
American Idol. And this is a new one where the formula's worked, but I think it's getting to the point where it's kind of like the Common Man program. That's why we went to the new Common Man
I understand
program.
That.
We changed it up a little bit because I think people are going, we've seen this before. We have unknown people, they're waitresses or a waiter or an auto mechanic.
Right.
And he can carry a tune and suddenly listen to him. And then the people that judge it, the Adam Sandlers, no, Adam, what's his name?
Levine.
Adam Levine. They they go over the top and how good they think he is.
Well, this is
they're just like, oh my God, this person's a combination of Pavarotti and
Tony Bennett.
And Tony Bennett and Hank Williams Jr. when they're really not that good, but they got to build it up because this is a show. Then this person gets a recording contract, goes on tour for a year, and then very few of them go on to bigger. And there's been a handful that have gone
Carrie Underwood, a few other,
Carrie Underwood and a couple others, right? So now they're trying to change the formula up. So they took this one, apparently it was in South Korea, where you have people that have already made it singing behind a mask, and then the people have to guess who it is. I don't know
why. Well, how tough would that be if it's the famous person?
Well, that's what I would think.
If they're singing one of their songs,
well, that's what I would think. I don't know how it works. You'll have to watch the first
episode. Well, I don't know what it's on. I've never heard. Okay. All right.
So there you go. Okay. Where do we start? We have calls to get to. We'll do that in a bit. There's a lot of ground to cover.
There is.
Obviously, the A story would be Vikings at Seattle.
Correct.
If you can ruffle Russell, get Lockett in your pocket, and what rhymes with the 12th man? If you can get the upper hand on the 12th man or sign whatever it is, that's kind of the keys to the game. The Bears' victory last night, which didn't come as a surprise to me, it did to you. I told you on Friday, or it was Thursday, I said, I'll take the Bears and the Rams, and you laughed at me.
I didn't laugh at you. I just thought, the home field made all the difference in the world. If they play the game in L.A., and that's to Chicago's credit. I'm
so you think it was strictly the...
Not strictly, but I think a lot of it, I think cold weather, Chicago has that advantage.
I think Nagy outcoached.
I think he did too. I agree with you. I love the Bears winning last night. I thought it was great. But I don't think, you got a little carried away on Twitter, like, defense wins championships.
Well, it does.
No, it doesn't. Didn't win last year's Super Bowl. Did it?
Actually, the final play was made on a defensive play.
It was, but the score.
Philadelphia won on a defensive
play. Tom Brady went up and down the field all day long.
Philadelphia won on a defensive play.
I understand that, but after giving up like 500 yards of offense, I mean, you made it sound like it was this titanic, like championships are won because these, they made the play.
If you could go to the Super Bowl with the 85 Bears defense or the greatest show on turf offense,
I'd take the 85 defense.
I would too.
But that wouldn't, I think for the most part, and that's why it was refreshing to see that. It was, I had a lot of glitches last night, and there were some phenomenal finishes around the NFL yesterday, but I was more impressed with the Bears last night than I was even when they beat Minnesota. I mean, they looked awfully good.
Well, while I was delighted to see it, so I could prove that I was right again and stop all this theory that is just, or whatever you would call it, that has swept the nation that it's only offense now. And this
proved again that
it wasn't. But I didn't like seeing the Bears win because it dampens the Vikings' chances to win a division.
It does, but I think at the same time, realistically, Chicago's got the upper hand. I mean, You could have a situation where Chicago comes in here the last game of the season and doesn't care about the game, which would benefit Minnesota's chances of just getting in the playoffs. I think that's what we're realistically looking at right now. And there's all sorts of scenarios involving, obviously the purple right now. But, I think, I'm not taking anything away from the Bears' defense. They were phenomenal last night. But, that does change. If Chicago goes and plays that game in L.A., you're not going to have the same defensive effort, I don't think. You're not going to have the same results. The game just does change. Well,
we might find out later in the NFC Championship.
We very well might. It's quite a turnaround.
And I would take the Bears.
Were they 4-12? What was their record last year?
I think it might have been 4-12, 5-11.
And I don't know what John Gruden. Well, I know what John Gruden was smoking, but to get Khalil Mack, then you see Amari Cooper doing what he did for Dallas yesterday. And I get it. A year from now, 2 years from now, Oakland may have the last laugh when they have all these draft picks and they're in Las Vegas and Gruden will go, he's got a 10-year contract. He doesn't care.
No.
And he goes, remember when you guys all mocked and ridiculed me? Look at me now.
Do you think that was part ego with Gruden that, look, I'm John Gruden. I got a 10-year deal.
With him.
I'm not letting one player You think because you're a really good, if you were defensive player of the year, sure. that you're going to hold my feet to the fire? No thanks, kid. I'll trade you right now.
John Gruden is thinking of Vegas, and he's thinking of where he's going to be 2-3 years from now. And I, you know, not at the expense of, you know, of trying to throw in the towels. We saw yesterday, much to my chagrin, rightfully beating the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are a mess all of a sudden. How that happened, and how Tomlin got out coached yesterday,
mm-hmm.
You know, was a rarity. I mean, you had two really lousy teams win yesterday and hurt opponents. You had Oakland beating Pittsburgh and San Francisco beating Denver.
Yeah,
you know, those are the kind of games you go, wait a minute, where did this come from? So that's when you can't discount lousy teams and looking for draft picks.
Well, I think part of that is too. Is, you know, because Pittsburgh lost their previous two. Pittsburgh's not as good as their earlier record indicated, much like Denver's not that good. Really, in this league right now, you can probably count on one hand really good teams.
I agree with you.
You know?
And you can't put New England in that group.
Right. That's well, that's it. So, you know, some of these teams that you go, they're Pittsburgh. They got the great pedigree. They were 7-2-1, right.
Sure.
Which makes you think they must be a pretty good team. But then sometimes find out maybe they're just not as good as you really think.
And this is why they always say about peaking at the right time. And we've seen it time and time again. We've seen wild card teams. They'll take off and end up in the Super Bowl.
And win it.
And win it. And so this is why, fast forwarding to tonight's game with the Vikings, I mean, I know the old cliche that I really feel like the season begins tonight. You think of the perception in this town, we can fast forward to tomorrow morning, water cooler talk about the Vikings' performance tonight. If they win in impressive fashion, or they win at all, it's like, wow, Katie bar the door, here we go. We got two of the next
peaking at the right time.
Peaking at the right time. We got Miami at home, at Detroit, and the Bears at home. And, you know,
we're going to win the division.
Yeah.
That's what we're thinking. We're thinking we're going to win the division.
They could go on a roll right now if they look good. If they lose, it's going to be how can we limp into the playoffs? How many combinations of things have to happen in order for the Vikings to win?
Well, not just that, but also, what does it matter if we limp into the playoffs? We're not going to do anything. The people will be very down on the club because it means we've lost.
Depending on how the game goes.
Quality clubs we're losing to.
Right.
Even though some of them have been close, the Rams game was close, the Saints game was close, we're losing to those teams.
That's why I've said all along, last week's game, the loss against New England, I'm not discounting it. I'm saying that this one, always, of those two, had a lot more importance to it. It was a conference game, you know, team that you're potentially fighting for a playoff spot with. And what it means for the rest of the season. The players know it. Everybody knows it. It's, you know, the gauntlet's been put down for the Vikings to be able to successfully run the ball, to stop the run, do the normal things on special teams, have Kirk Cousins rise up when he hasn't risen up on Monday nights before. He's 0-6, I think, a Monday night game. All the things we're looking for and started with the season with, this is kind of now the starting point. It's that mid-December. Here we go. And a lot of teams are kind of, you know, losing their footing, as you mentioned, with Pittsburgh, maybe Denver, maybe, you know, New England lost in the craziest play I've ever seen to finish a game. But, you know, they got a lot of teams that are kind of middling. I mean, that's just the way the NFL's set up. And even the teams that have been dominant, the Rams, people, I'm sure the Ram fans are going, oh, what was that? You know, Saints fans came back, and, you know, they won yesterday. But, this is the way it works.
We spent a good portion of the program so far trying to figure out what's wrong with the Vikings. A year ago this week,
mm-hmm.
they lost to Carolina to go to 10-3, then won 3 in a row, finished 13-3. This year we're 6-5-1, traveling to Seattle with, again, we're underdogs and probably rightly so. Let's say we lose, we go to 6-6-1. And so we've had people calling in emailers, what's the difference? We were talking mm-hmm. strength of schedule, mm-hmm. injuries. Some teams are better. We're not doing this. New coordinator.
Right.
Someone just said, and this isn't the first time it's been suggested. I heard it last week as well. Some people say you can't underestimate what Sperano,
right.
his untimely
death. We talked about that
as how he had worked that offense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you, and I always, I bring that to comparison. I don't think you completely agree with me on this, but I talk about how 2009, we were 12 men in the huddle and one throw across the body away from getting into the NFC, or getting to the big game. Everybody thought unfinished business. The next year, we're going to bring everybody back. We got far back. Let's go make another run at it. We went 6-10. Last year, 13-3, knocking on the door. Let's go get a new quarterback and get a defensive lineman. And I think people were obviously hoping for a season similar to last year. What's the difference? Is there one thing you can pinpoint? A couple of things?
There's not one thing you can pinpoint, and this is why, to a man, every player who gets there, who's been through it, always says, don't take it for granted that this will happen again the following year. It's just not that easy. There's all sorts of things, all sorts of things that can happen. And I think all you have to do is look at the standings to bear that out. I mean, the Bears are a perfect example of how a lot of things have fallen into place. The Packers, looking at Green Bay, they got, for the most part, a really healthy Aaron Rodgers this year. What happened? He got hurt last year, missed most of the season. They're supposed to be making a big run this year. Super Bowl champs have fallen on hard times. Washington's a mess now. They lost their quarterback. The Giants are horrible. You know, they're not horrible now, but they're not a contending team. Carolina, you know, lost 7. Tampa Bay. Atlanta was supposed to be. Look, Atlanta should have beaten Philly last year. What kind of conversations are they having in Atlanta? So I don't think this is unusual or unique, what's happening in Minnesota. It's just that it's happening. That's all we talk about. I think this happens pretty much around the National Football League because that's the way the system is set up. It's such a fine line between 13-3 and 8-8 that, you know, you just don't know year to year, and you can never assume anything about, you go 13-3 and you have everybody back. It doesn't matter because just weird things happen. And it can be off kilter just a little bit. And the offensive lineman gets hurt, or this happens, or coach, or there's some distraction over here. You know, tip ball, bad spot, whatever it might be, or just you're playing poorly. It's the NFL. And there's very seldom when a team can put together those kinds of, you know, other than New England most of the time, to see teams consistently put those kind of years together. You know, 2, 3, 4 years in a row where you're going 13-3 or 12-4. Doesn't happen very often. Any team, other than, I guess, again, the Patriots for the most part. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just, and that's why I kind of get back to where we are tonight. That's why starting tonight, those guys can look in the mirror and go, this is, and Kirk Cousins said earlier this week, this is why when you start your OTAs and all that other stuff, it leads to a game like tonight. And this is, to me, the true test for this football team. And it's nothing to do whether or not they'll make the playoffs if they lose, because they still have like a 57% chance, because everybody else has got, what, at least 7 losses that they're competing with.
Right.
Other than Seattle, which would pretty much clinch a berth tonight. But, you know, we'll find out a lot more about this team tonight. I'm anxious to see how they perform finally, and see if they can take the crowd out of the game, see if they can be aggressive from the get-go. Don't go throw this 3-and-out.
Sorry to be pessimistic, no, but from what I've seen, and they've had other games like this where we've said almost the same thing. Go play Los Angeles. Show them what you're made out of.
No, I get it.
Play Saints. Show them what you're made out of. Play this team. Show them what you're made out of. And we've failed those tests every single time this year. Every time.
Except that Philadelphia.
We're finding out Philadelphia's
and then
in the same boat. We are
Bay. Well, that's
good.
What I'm saying. Right. So that's why tonight would be... But it's that time of the year where you just mentioned Pittsburgh's falling off a little bit. This is where you can actually judge the team, because if they win tonight, you know what the phone call is going to be like tomorrow. You know what the feeling of this town is going to be like if they win tonight.
Right,
it's going to be pretty optimistic. It just will be. If they lose, it's going to be like you just said, not just limping into the playoffs, but whether you knew if they get there.
I think if they lose tonight, they'll probably still qualify.
They very well should.
They're a better team than Miami, I would think. I know they're better than Detroit. They get Chicago here. Chicago might have their...
They may not even care.
At that point, they might already know our seeding can't change,
right.
And who we play can't change.
Correct.
I guess who they play
could. No, I mean, yeah, it could, because they could very well end up playing the Vikings 2 weeks in a row. But, I mean, they wouldn't waltz in here and go, hey, we're just going to give it away to you. You know, it's not, they're not going to play their starters. It's not like, you know, they're going to call out. Football is just not really built that way. But I still think it would give the Vikings, it would be an advantage for the Vikings anyway, because you're playing here as opposed to obviously in Chicago. But yeah, this is the game that I think will decide kind of not just the local perception, but the national perception of this Viking team is that they're okay. I don't trust them, and you're right. Why should we trust them?
I would think the football consuming fan out there is wondering, Vikings again? I watched this team lose 4 weeks in a row.
I know.
In prime time,
other than beating Green Bay in prime
other
time.
Other than beating Green Bay,
yeah.
We'll pause and come back. Calls, emails, other topics to get to. A lot of ground to cover with Mark Rosen here on the Fan.
It's a Purple Monday on The Fan, presented by Franson Bank and Trust.
We call it the Amana Heating and Air Conditioning weather forecast, and it's a dandy. We're expecting partly cloudy to mostly cloudy skies today. High should be around 30. Tomorrow, partly sunny. Mercury should play tag with 27 degrees. And then Wednesday, pretty much the same. Cloudy, 30 right now in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul. Cloudy skies, 28 degrees. This is Jay Ferguson from 1976. Thunder Island on your home for the hits, FM 100.3, the sports animal. Masked Singer is based on a format that originated in South Korea, was remade in TV markets across Asia. In the show, which will debut January 2019, celebrities compete against each other while wearing costumes and masks while a panel of judges try to guess their identity. So it's not singers. It would be like they might have like Mel Torme. That's a name from the past.
Yeah, sure.
So they
is.
Might have somebody like Adam Sandler have right. a mask on, and yeah. he'll sing.
Oh, I thought you've already seen it.
Do you what? You're in television. Wouldn't you know
that?
Did
they just say that?
It starts in 2019.
Well, you didn't say that before. You asked me if I saw it, and I went, I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't ask you if you saw it. Have you heard about it?
No, I haven't.
I guess I'm the television expert in because Kennedy hadn't heard of it either, and I never watched TV.
I know you know. That's why.
And I know more about it than both of you.
Well, good for you.
So it would be like an Adam Sandler, who's not a singer,
right.
would sing, and he's got a mask, and then they have to try to guess who, and I guess if they don't guess, he advances to the next week. Well, to me, that's more interesting than just having, you know, Joe Bag of Donuts from down in somewhere in Texas, and he's an auto mechanic, and he used to do a lot of karaoke, and now he's going to sing, and then have him go, oh.
Wow, what a sensation.
What a sensation, what a voice. Sounds like, as you said, sort of a combination between Tony Bennett and Lucille Ball.
Lucille Ball.
Is the voice going to sound weird inside of a mask?
I don't know.
Can we do this at the State Fair next year with KFN personalities?
I like that. That's a great idea.
That's a really good idea.
Have meat sauce singing under a mask.
Lucky.
Oh, boy.
So, I don't know. It's a twist.
Remember the
on
Chuck Bear show, The Unknown Comic? Remember he came out with a mask?
Oh, yeah. He made a lot of money, too.
He sure did.
The Unknown Comic came up with a good idea. Okay, we'll get back to the Vikings in just a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the Joel Embiid story?
About Jimmy Buckets?
Yeah.
They're not happy.
He can't play with Buckets.
No.
Nobody can play with Buckets.
No. And they're winning.
Yeah. I have the story. Did you see it?
I skimmed it, put it that way. I get kind of bored with Jimmy Bucket stories. And
here's it. Here's
I don't
it.
Care that much
Jimmy
anymore.
Butler's arrival in Philadelphia upsetting Joel Embiid's game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the center himself is saying.
Right.
I haven't been myself lately. I think it's mainly because of the ways I've been used, which I'm being used as a spacer, I guess. Stretch five, which I'm only shooting 29% from 3-point range. It seems like the past couple of games, like with the way I play or our setup, Brown always has me starting on the perimeter, and it just really frustrates me. My body feels great, and it's just I haven't been playing well. Because both Embiid, apparently, and I've not watched enough of him to know this, but I'm being told he and Butler have similar games, and they attack the basket.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jimmy's getting all the attack the basket plays, and there's not enough basketball to go around. And, you know, I guess...
Well,
Buckets is going to get the criticism, but what I'll say is Joel Embiid's another this new breed young guy like Big Meow and Wiggins. They have to be coddled to and have to worry about the way I like to play.
And their
stats. That's not what we're changing now a little bit because we've got another weapon we want to use. We think it makes us better as a team as a whole. So you're going to have to change your game up a little bit. Well, I'm not comfortable playing that way. Well, great.
Well, it's up to the coach. And they're 18-9, they're 13-1 at home, and I don't think they have much to worry about. Meanwhile, the Wolves...
They lost to Portland without Rocco.
Frustrating end of the game. They had half a dozen good chances to win that game.
Portland get lucky, you think?
Gibson... No. McCollum, and they got some deadly three-point shooters. Gibson missed a three-pointer. They missed a couple opportunities. And they just couldn't finish. They didn't have that extra. And Rocco is that important. Yeah, it was a good game, good effort. But frustrating way for them to end up losing that game. Now they got Death Squad tonight. And I assume Rocco will be back tonight. a death squad that's healthy, ready, and
death lineup.
Death lineup. Yep. I would call them death squad.
I don't know. Either way, it works.
It works. They're a good 10-point favorite tonight, late tonight. So if, after the Viking game is over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my theory is if the Wolves play their best and Golden State's a bit disinterested, Wolves could pull off an upset. But if Golden State comes to play, I still think they're just still the cream of the cream of the crop of the NBA.
Well, you knew this stuff was going to happen at some point where they're going to have some issues on the team internally, which they've had with Durant and Draymond Green, and you know Curry had the back issue, or excuse me, not the back issue, the groin issue. He's back from the groin issue. He missed 11 games. He's averaging like 30 points a game since he's come back. So he's back. So yeah, there's a lot to, and they lead the league in offensive ratings. So it's a nice contrast for the Wolves, who've improved tremendously defensively since the trade, and getting Covington back in the lineup tonight, I assume, will, you know, you like to see a competitive game. So they're, you know, they're going to be a tough stretch. Hopefully they can win at least one of these next two. They get them in the Sacramento. Probably Sacramento.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild continue to, they went from being one of the best teams in hockey, looking for home ice advantage throughout the Western Conference Finals. Okay. Now we can't seem to win a game. Or very many, anyway.
Well, not only that, they got blistered last time out.
7-2, was that the final?
Yeah, they're they've gone from second place, a couple points out of first place. Now they're 32 points, 7 points out of first. Again, it's a long, long time to go.
Right.
Zach Parise made it sound like, look, we needed this. We needed a wake-up call. They got one. You know, Dubnyk has been, started out house of fire early in the season when the Wild weren't playing well. He was keeping them in games. Doesn't sound like Koivu's injury is too serious. Maybe back by the end of the week. Luke Cunning, who was dealing with the ACL thing, is back. He'll play tomorrow night. Yeah, Montreal's here tomorrow night. So they're home this week, and they got to snap out of it. And they've been very good at home. So now is the time to snap out of it, for sure. But yeah, it's been some kind of head-shaking stuff that's been going on the road the last few games here.
Your two Gopher basketball teams both won. Gophers drilled something called Arkansas State, and Wayland squad won again.
That was an impressive win because they played. It's a good Boston College team on the road, second road game, and
one gal went off for 35.
Yeah, Destiny Pitts, she's awfully good. I still think they're missing one of their top players. I believe. I'm not sure when.
Can they go undefeated?
No, they could.
Can they win? Can they vie for a national championship in the first year under Wayland?
No.
The 14th in the country.
Well, they could. I hope Wayland proves me wrong. Sure, they could. We don't know what the ceiling is.
It seems to come so easy. Everything seems to come easy for her.
I don't think it's. She's a winner. It makes it look easy.
High school star, college star, WNBA star, can drive the ball 343 yards.
Yeah.
Tenby golfing comes easy to her. Comes easier to her than her husband.
Well, maybe it does.
I always love that one.
It comes too easy for Lindsay. Is she ever going to face any adversity?
Never. No. Probably has. Every time she pulls into a parking lot, probably the top spot's waiting for her.
Every parking lot?
Yeah.
Parking space karma?
Sure. Visualizes the spaces they open up for.
Elevator's always right there. It's not 18 course. Floors up.
No.
All what happened to Lindsay Wayland? What happened to the volleyball team?
I don't know. I didn't see the match.
Well, let's talk about that the other side of the break. Yeah, I don't want to get behind here.
Yeah,
I also want to talk. Twins, surprisingly, they're not going to go after.
Moves, so.
They're not going to go after Harper or Machado. That's what I'm told.
Okay.
We'll talk about that, and we also have 10 yes or no questions for Mark Rosen.
From whom?
I'll explain the other side of the break here on the fan.
Stop by and see us pregame on the plaza at U.S. Bank Stadium before the Vikings take on Miami on Sunday, thanks to our friends at Quick Trip. Stop by and find out how you can win a $100 Quick Trip gas card. Plus, we are going to have a Toys for Tots donation box at our booth. Bring an unwrapped toy for a child in need and donate it, thanks to our friends with the United States Marines.
Let's go. Couple 13-14 passed. One of our regular emailers addresses a number of topics. don't want to go through the entire thing. I just, it's the final subject he brings up. He goes, regarding Philbin, he had new coach of the Packers.
Right, interim coach.
He challenged two of the first three plays of the game, lost them both. He says, Philbin has nothing to lose. The first call was not a catch, nor was the second one. Dean Blandino even said so. Well, that's it then. If Dean Blandino says it's not a catch, then it's not a catch. I don't care what Dean Blandino says. Everybody can have a different opinion when they watch something. Can.
Well, and they often disagree with the referee's call.
Yes.
We saw that happen a couple times yesterday. In one game, was it the Dallas-Philadelphia game? Some of the worst calls I've ever seen. I said, this crew cannot, none of these guys in this crew will ever make it to a Super Bowl crew. It was embarrassing.
Before we get to calls, and then your final thoughts on Seattle versus Minnesota and a prediction, it's time now for Mark Rosen's Yes or No.
It's time now for
Yes
or
No.
I can't. Who came up with this?
I did.
Okay.
I didn't come up with the question.
Is it literally yes or no answer?
You get 10 questions. Only yes or no, okay. Except one time.
One time I can call Fred.
You can say, I have an explanation.
Okay, yeah, just once.
Just once out of the 10 questions. Right. You have to decide when you
but
want
But the rest of them you can only say yes or no on.
All no right. explanations.
I got you.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Clue number one. Do you frequently read facts off your iPad and act like you're citing them off the top of your head?
Yes.
I always love that one.
I could have an explanation, but
number you two, might want to save your explanation.
I better wait.
Number two, do you normally have to fake laugh at Frank and Amelia's jokes during the quirky little final segment of the 10 o'clock news?
No.
Number three, is Frank Vassalero basically a modern-day Ron Burgundy?
No, he's not.
Number four, did you initially have reservations when you were approached about doing a daily segment with Common?
Yes. No explanation.
Number five. Have you ever picked up Carly's dry cleaning for her or brought her car to get washed?
Pass.
It's yes or no?
No.
No!
Number six. Do you plan on being in the delivery room when Carly gives birth to her next child?
If I'm in town, I can't. That's not a yes or no. I might be in Vegas, but otherwise, yes.
Yes!
Have you ever claimed to have a WCCO staff meeting just to get out of being on the ground?
Yes.
Have you read Common's book yet? The whole thing, not just the foreword that Jim Bruton wrote for you?
Your book? No, because I don't have a copy.
I just like the cheap shot.
I know you do.
Do you regret giving Larry Mondello Guy your cell phone number?
Yes. Oh, my God, yes.
And finally, number 10. You didn't even use an explanation.
Well, I go back to it.
Do you intentionally schedule your knee replacement surgery during the state fair?
Absolutely, yes.
10 questions.
What was the first one? Yeah, the first one, you ripped them up. But,
yeah.
No, the facts part.
One.
No, the iPad one. I look up information. Like, for instance, you go... You ask questions many times. So what are the Vikings, what's their run defense, whatever it might be. Look up facts so I can
say. But then do you say it like,
no,
well, the run defense is pretty good. They're giving up, I think it's about an average of 146 yards a game.
I'm looking it up. If you're asking me for an opinion, no, I don't look up something. Oh, here's my opinion on that.
I think you are.
If you're looking for some information, of course you're looking for facts. That's what we do. They're called facts, not fake news.
The 2018 Vikings have done nothing up to this point to make me think they'll win tonight. Cousins performs like he's overwhelmed in big games. He shredded a depleted Rams secondary when we played them earlier in the season and got pick-sixed against Da Bears. Flip and Zim can't get on the same page. Flip wants to throw it 50 times. Zim wants to run it 40, like it's the 1980s. The special teams play's been bad. Defense has been inconsistent. Terrible team, terrible city, terrible bird-killing stadium. Terrible fans, terrible mascot, terrible concessions.
Bird-killing stadium.
He says everything's bad. He feels sort of kind of like I do, where it's hard for me to say, boy, I just get this feeling. I don't know what it is, but this team's about to embark on a stretch of games that's going to march right into the big game.
Right. No, there's nothing to suggest that. Nothing. I mean, I go back to the Buffalo loss here. That's still a head-scratcher. not that they lost, but they were not even in the game that day. I mean, that was the one that I think is still the trickle-down effect from that loss at home to Buffalo was, that was bad.
Wild fan, man. You're on the fan.
Well, I've been on hold so long, my Blue Chew Chuba wore off.
That's not a good sign.
No.
Say, I was going to ask some Viking stuff, but it might be taking a little too long. I wasn't expecting to be on hold that long.
Nope, sorry.
A couple other questions. Common, besides the obvious answer that you're going to say of your, being yourself, who is your favorite stand-up comedian?
Phyllis Diller.
Phyllis? She's not alive yet, is she?
I think she might still be alive. My favorite is still Phyllis Diller.
I don't know about that.
Phyllis?
And then Rosie, do you still keep in contact with Don Shelby at all?
Yeah, in fact, I was texting with him. I'm not making this up. He called me at 7 o'clock this morning from Oslo, Norway.
Really?
Yeah. And
I liked him. He was my favorite.
Yeah, I texted him back. He's over
and
there.
And the last quick question is, how are we doing on my list for the Christmas songs? How many are we up to?
How many do we have, Tenneby? Thanks for calling, Wild Fan, man. How many Christmas songs do we have?
26.
Oh, we need to pick up the pace.
Boy.
Christmas, right? We need 40 more.
Not tough to get.
I wouldn't think. Phone call from Hammy. Hammy, you're on the fan.
Hey, long time, guys.
Yep.
Hope you're doing well.
We are. Yourself? Good.
Good.
What do you got?
I got a couple points football-wise, one Vikings and one just commenting on the arena football, offenses.
Okay.
You know, those offenses are not predicated for late-in-the-year playoff football. They have to have home field because we know who's good this year and who's not, but you throw in a different year where maybe you're dealing with Chicago outside, Green Bay, New York, I mean, it's that kind of football, it's not going to work. I mean, that's my opinion. Let's see Goff, playing the game where Coughlin turned purple in Green Bay that one year. I mean,
what sort of happened last night a little bit.
Yeah, and you could definitely see it. It had a very much effect on the L.A. Rams.
Four interceptions, three sacks, a fumble, a safety. And they were actually still in the game because, again, the Bears' offense isn't very good. They're okay.
Exactly. And the one Viking point I wanted to bring up is that, the more toys you have to play with offensively, I think it's better. And we have not seen anything from Zylstra, Conklin. I mean, it's kind of like if these guys, with four games left, aren't good enough to make any plays. I mean, I'm just kind of in question of that.
All right, thanks for the call.
I don't know how you're going to get them any action ahead of Diggs. And now you could question what Treadwell's doing. And unfortunately, BB got hurt. But I don't see any of those guys you mentioned getting ahead of the group they have out there right now. I don't think that's
I don't think that you insert them into the game at certain times and go, now we're showing them all sorts of different
plus you got, you're three main guys who are obviously catching the ball are Thielen, Diggs, and Rudolph. And you got Dalvin Cook out of the backfield. You got one football, and I thought Amir Abdullah would be a weapon. He still could be as far as being able to exploit some things on a linebacker. But maybe we'll see more of that tonight.
Walter, the Secretary of Insight.
Hey, Common.
Walter.
Hey, Mr. Rosen.
Yes, sir.
Hey, that's great. Hey, it's great to hear you guys on the radio. I think it's great.
It's always good to hear from you on the radio.
Well, fantastic, Common. I appreciate it.
What brings you to the program today?
Well, there's a number of things that are going on. A lot of experts. All over. They're the north, south, east, and west.
They know it all.
And they're like the tariffs. They're real cheap. They're dime a dozen.
Yeah.
Five cents a pack. That's right.
Yeah.
And it's just some of the things, that are, how can you down a guy? I mean, they've been down in Dak Prescott for the last 2 months.
They have.
And they've been down in this guy so bad because they didn't forecast him to do anything in the first place. And then he went beyond that. So then they start looking at, Dallas was 2-3 or whatever, maybe 3-4.
Yeah, and Dak can't do this, and Dak can't do that,
That's right. And then you look at the thing, and what do you see? You see 30 victories since 2016, 30 victories, which is more. Only one quarterback has more victories than that since 2016. It's not Jerry Goff either. It's Tom Brady. He's the only one with more wins than Dak.
Yeah.
As a starter. And Dak is very reliable. He's very capable. He's very able. He's very, very dependable, which he proved at Mississippi State. He revived Mississippi State football. And it's just tremendous what he's doing. I believed in him from the start. It's a guy that gets on Saturday morning, and I have nothing against him. And he claims that he's big San Antonio Spurs, big Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
But then when they start talking about Dak, he said, well, you know, Dak is having problems, this and that. But if you believed in Dak, you believe in him. You stick by your thing no matter what.
That's it.
I stick by the Jazz. I'm with the Jazz all the way.
Yes, yeah. You are.
They've been saying we're not going to do this, and they've been saying, well, look at us. We're not doing nothing. But see, we understand that it's a long way to go.
It's a long way.
It's only December, and we're breaking gains. As each like Ricky Rubio, who spoke well for us. Ricky said, they don't understand us. He said, we're making gains as each week.
That's exactly right.
Each month goes by, and that's exactly what's going to happen, because you don't want to peak now. You can't.
No, they don't hand out chips in December.
That's right. And you want to try to build something and try to get started and get the thing going. And then from there, there'll come a point where you know when it's time to really put the throttle down. Just like a good race car, just like Jeff Gordon when he runs those cars.
That's right. When Jeff Gordon puts the pedal to the metal. Jeff Gordon weighs about 185 pounds, and it's all on his right foot.
You better believe it. That's right, man. That's tremendous. That's terrific. You know, and
thank you.
And you know, and you know, Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, but hey, he's on par against Dak. I mean, the truth of the matter is, he's on par against Dak.
That's exactly right.
I mean, you know, and you know, you can't, if you're going to be a good commentator, you can't be afraid to say these things, because you're obligated to give the people, the citizens, they want good information.
That's exactly right. Good, accurate information.
They want something that they can. You know, can hold on to, and I think it's tremendous.
And that's why we turn to you.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yes.
Mr. Rosen, comment, I appreciate it. It's going to be a tough game. I mean, this is a very important game tonight. The Seahawks are trying to put things together, and I have to give the Seahawks credit for this reason. They lost a Super Bowl on the last play of the game.
Yes,
a game
they did.
They had a golden opportunity to win, and maybe it was because they didn't want to pay Marshawn Lynch, so they didn't want to give him the ball to get that last yard. Maybe that was it. Maybe it wasn't. But I know one thing. They did not let that loss in the Super Bowl destroy their franchise.
No, they did not.
They're still battling, they're still competing, and they're still fighting. And I respect that. I have a lot of respect for what they're doing. Because that's a devastating loss that they had against New England in that Super Bowl. They outplayed New England.
Mm-hmm.
They should have won the game, but they didn't win. They lost the game on a fluke of all flukes. But yet, it didn't deter the franchise to the point where they're going backwards.
Give us a Gone But Not Forgotten. I'm right up against the clock. We got to turn it over to Big Ticket. What do you got? Gone But Not Forgotten or Go Team?
Well, you know, you could say the great stars of the AWA. So many of them.
Yes.
You could say Doug Gilbert, one of my favorites. You could say Wilbur Snyder. You could say Ernie, the Big Cat Lad. That's right. Former Kansas City, along with who headed it all, our guy, Vern Gagne.
Yes.
But let's give Larry the Axe Henry.
Absolutely.
We want to give Larry credit because he did a wonderful job.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Second. Yeah, I heard about the passing of Larry in the last week.
I don't know why, but for AWA, I was always attracted to the villains. I don't know why that would be.
Well, the Crusher was a villain, but he was such a comical villain that...
Yeah. Well, Crusher really wasn't a villain. He became more of a good guy.
Against
Vern, he was. Because I liked Dr. X.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked Nick Bockwink.
Mad Dog Vachon.
And I liked Mad Dog Vachon. Mm-hmm. And I
Harley Race.
And I liked Handsome Harley Race.
Right.
And
I got Larry, you and Playboy, I Handsome, think a lot alike.
I liked those guys. Yeah. They were the all-timers.
Yeah.
Going to be. Don't embarrass yourself further.
No.
Seattle or Minnesota, who do you like and why?
I'm going...
it's going to go Vikings.
I am.
Of course you are.
Well, and I do fear that Russell Wilson will do something with his feet that'll disrupt this game and end up winning it for him. I just feel that this team was... The nucleus is there from last year. They've had enough sand kicked in their faces to believe that they're not going to come out. If they lay an egg, I'm going, okay, I'm done. We're done.
Two-hour time zone change.
I went there a day early, though.
18-4
I know.
On night games.
Well, you're getting
teams traveling two time zones.
You can do your argument, although none of these guys have. Again, it's a different.
Situation. I'm buying into it now, though. No, I'm buying into it. I've been wrong all this time.
So you're picking Seattle.
You will have to, because you can't beat them at night,
yeah.
And especially when you travel on the road.
All right.
Can't do it.
We'll discuss tomorrow.
We will indeed. Mark Rosen, Channel 4 Sports Fame. Tenneby, thanks for having me.
Hey, great job.
You did a bang-up job as well. Thanks for spending part of your day with us. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Richard Pitino show at 12 noon. A big ticket and the tasteless box of mashed potatoes. They're next on The Fan.
You like that? You like that?
Well done, young man!
I'm a fraud.
Yes.
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Listen back to a podcast of today's show. Visit the Common Man channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.